Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is Wednesday at 4 o'clock, which means we are joined by the great Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider host, the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, what up, man?
Well, hello, Spike and Ike. How are you guys? I'm doing good, man. Good to be with you all.
What's up, Baldy?
So, Baldy, another week... Another A.J. Brown tweet, which has, you know, for a 4-0 football team, we sure find ways after wins to find some sort of controversy. Do you have any opinion or insight on A.J.'s sort of public frustration with, or apparent public frustration of getting the football more often?
Well, they threw it to him the last five passes of the game.
Yeah.
In the last five, the last play of the third quarter and four plays in the fourth quarter, they threw it to him. And, you know, he was open. I mean, they threw a deep shot to him out of bounds.
Yep.
They threw three deep shots all day. None of them were in bounds, so bad throws. Benjamin Morrison was sitting on top of him. They kind of overthrew him a little bit. But there really wasn't a whole lot of room there. I mean, they threw to him on first down, second down, third down, that stretch to the start of the fourth quarter. And they were, you know, three incompletions. And then, you know, they had a blitz there late in the fourth quarter. The Bucs were trying to get the ball back, and he was the hot read on the play, and he didn't really win the route. And, you know, Zion McCollum was sitting right on top of him, and I don't know, it wasn't a good throw either. So, I mean, he'd be frustrated, but, you know, some of these, they only threw it 24 times, Spike. And, you know, nine of them were against the blitz. And Jalen's, like, going to the hot guy. And most of the time, he's actually going to the right guy, especially early in the game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what Todd Bowles wants to do. They knew that. They had a pretty good plan for it. But, you know, two of the blitzes that he threw to was to A.J., and they didn't complete them.
So, you know, we're four games in. I think A.J.'s averaging about 35 yards a game.
You can't look at it like that.
Why not?
You're like, you know, when they're down, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
but
it's
like,
all right.
When they're down 26-7 and they got to go play ball, where'd the ball go to? It went to AJ. I mean, they're up 24-3. Like, there's not a real need to go to AJ or to take deep shots or to put the ball in the harm's way in the middle of the field. And so the quarterback's not going to do that. But, you know, if you're sitting on the lead like they have been against Dallas, against Tampa, whatever, for the most part against Kansas City, it just shows you that they're not going to put the ball in harm's way and take any chances at that point.
Yeah, I actually thought, Baldy, coming out the locker room and seeing exactly what the passing game looked like in that second half, I don't know what happened at halftime. I'm not in the locker room. But it certainly seemed like they made a concerted effort to try to get A.J. the ball in the second half. Like, so when the coaches are saying, yeah, we know how important he is and we try to make him a priority, it certainly seems like that's what they have attempted to do. And to your point, there was only 24 throws in the entire game anyway. Like, I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point to make. There's only 24 throws in the game. He got nine of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, he caught his first pass.
Yeah.
With a minute and 59 seconds to go in the second quarter. They're in total control of the game. He looked like he was, you know, I mean, it was a good route. He's going against the rookie, Benjamin Morrison. You know, physically just, you know, out-muscled him for the ball. Looked like he was pretty pumped. And then you're right. You know, they took some shots. down the field, they weren't good shots. I mean, honestly, I got to see him go balls from Jalen. He's usually pretty good. At least give the guy a chance to go up and win the jump ball. But the ball's, you know, ending up 5 yards out of bounds, nobody's going to make that. You know, Randy Moss is going to catch that ball. So, you know, I thought they took some shots. It wasn't exactly. I thought there was one play, honestly, in the whole 24, you know, play passing game, there was one shot he definitely, I thought Jalen could hit him. And it was on the, when he rolled out and he hit Smitty on that 22-yard sort of scramble drill. Yeah. I thought he could have hit A.J. in stride. The safety was in the other, the safety was Tyke Smith. He was on the other side of the field. A.J. won, you know, the bang eight against him. They could have taken a deep shot right there for sure. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that might have satiated him for a little bit. But, you know, that's, that, you know, I think, you know, it's really hard. Like, if you just compare last year to this year, I know they're different. Yeah. But last year, they were 2-2 at this time. And Jalen threw 4 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And everybody was like, you know, they wanted Nick gone, right? Their bye week was week 5, all that stuff, right, Spike?
Yep.
And then, you know, this year they're 4-0, and Jalen's 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. They've turned it over one time as a team. It's really hard to be 4-0. Only Buffalo's the other team doing that. Like, and I think, you know, Kevin Petullo and Jalen and AJ, I think they're all kind of still figuring things out, what they're good at.
Yeah.
And so, no, I think they're in a good spot, honestly. Like, they could go on a real tear, you know, if they just really try to tweak things just a little bit right now.
I think most people, and even myself as a former player who's also a fan of the team, are a little concerned that AJ may not be happy, right, that they're 4-0 in the tweet and what does it mean, and is there something there with him and Jalen. I think – that's most of the conversation we've gotten this week is, oh, my God, we're 4-0. Why isn't everybody happy? And we're not talking about fans. We mean guys on the team. Right? Like, why aren't people just happy on the team that they're 4-0?
Well, I think, you know, AJ is a different guy, right?
Yep.
So I've talked to him about this before. And his mentality, like, honestly, you know, he has the mentality of, you know, a defensive lineman. Like, he wants to be Myles Garrett as a receiver. He wants to just physically dominate his opponents. But he can only do it if he gets the opportunity like he did, you know, basically in the second half against the Rams.
Yeah.
And Emmanuel Forbes and Darius Williams, it was a joke. They couldn't cover him. They couldn't tackle him. And he took the game over. That's what he wants to do. Like, I think, like, you know, you can throw Dallas Goedert an underhanded pass and score a touchdown, AJ's not going to get excited. He's just not. Because he's not that he's not excited in the fact that they're winning. If he was playing on Tennessee again and they were 0-4, I guarantee he'd be really unhappy. But, you know, if I think there's just some level of balance. Like, he just wants to, the same way that Mailata just wants to drill people into the dirt, that's how AJ wants to, that's what he wants to do to defensive backs.
Right.
And if he doesn't get that chance to do it, like he did on the slant against Benjamin Morrison, where he just physically won the route.
Right.
Like, it kind of frustrates him.
Yeah, and we've been frustrated with him, you know, pretty much for 4 weeks when you just look at the overall passing game. We talk so much about AJ and the focal point being on him, but it's really, like, it's not like anyone else is getting a whole lot of targets and catches in the passing game either. Right, I mean, so it's not it's not like he's not getting his touches at the expense of somebody else getting it. I guess we'll hear from him in a little bit here because I guess he'll speak to the media. I think most people are just more concerned that he's good with being here and that this won't somehow derail the team moving forward.
I think there's probably, I mean, you know, like, I'm not trying to sugarcoat this thing, but I mean, there is frustration with the offense, right? There's no doubt.
Yep.
I mean, you know, his first catch is a hitch route that makes no sense. There's nobody to block the guy that's covering, right? Smitty's going down the field to block his guy. Like, they want Mailata to go out there and block the guy that's covering AJ. Like, it's a dumb throw. I mean, it's a dumb play. Not that Jalen made a dumb throw. But, like, you know, it's a 2-yard loss, and he's just throwing the ball up like, this is what I'm getting? Like, this is... I'm the most physically, like, in his mind, I'm T.O., I'm the most physically dominant receiver in this league, and this is what I'm getting, this is the bone I'm getting, this hitch route with nobody blocking the guy covering me.
Yeah.
Like, he was just frustrated, you know?
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I'd be frustrated too.
So, you know, one thing we got really used to last year was a dominant offensive line and a dominant Saquon. And we haven't actually seen either of those things so far this year. What are you seeing? You know, we talk to Jordan Mailata every week, and he seems to think that they're very close. He says, we're one block away, it's an execution issue. When you're watching the Eagles' offensive line so far this year, what are you seeing that is preventing them from dominating in the same way that they dominated last year?
Well, I mean, look, if you look at just Saquon, I mean, I think if Saquon was on here right now, like one cut, he slipped on the ground,
yep.
Okay, negative loss. One, he missed the hole. Like, you know, it's the same route, the same play they ran a ton of times last year, Tyler Steen, lane or pulling. And the outside lane is open, and it's a home run hit, and he went inside. For whatever reason, nobody can tell any running back what they see, what they don't see. But if he does stay outside, like he's going to be in the alley, he's going to run a long ways. So that's some of it. He had a couple, you know, seven-yard runs. There was a little bit of a gap there. Mm-hmm. He hit it just fine. They're not the runways that he got last year.
Yeah.
To Mailata's point, they're pretty close to getting that runway where if he hits it with his type of speed, like he's going to run a long ways. You know, if you look at you know, like the 13-yard touchdown run he had, I guess, against Kansas City. I mean, if that play was from 70 yards away, he would have scored from 70. You know, nobody touched him.
Yeah.
And you know, even the touchdown run on you know, the tush push, you know, that which was a clever call. I mean, if they did that tush push from midfield, he would have scored from 50. So some of those runs that he scored on last year was just, you know, it's just a lot closer to the goal line right now.
Yeah.
So let's go on to the defensive side, which we, you know, they gave up some yards on Sunday, but it looked to me, aside from the couple of big plays, like they played really, really well. And one of the guys that played maybe his best game was Quinyon Mitchell. When you're watching Quinyon Mitchell, what is going through your mind as you see him? Because I really thought, I don't know if you can play a better game than he played last week.
Well, that's the best quarterback play of any corner in the league this year, including Surtain, which you'll see this week. I mean, it's the best cornerback play that anybody has seen. Like, I mean, that's a great receiver, Abuka. He's a great, great player. He's going to have a great career. And he's smart. And he's everything you want at that position. And he threw a blanket on him. And what he does is the same thing that he did at Toledo. Like, he wins with his feet, and he wins with his eyes. He's not a grabber. People, like, I saw him grab a jersey one time. He got away with it. But that's a veteran move. That's what Slay did his whole life. It's what they do. Sometimes you get called. Sometimes, you know, it's in the right spot. The guy can't see it. You kind of slow him down a little bit. He was literally a teach tape on how to play corner. Everything from sitting on top of the receivers in zone to, you know, sitting on the upfield shoulder and man to the break on the ball is just a mad break. There's just, he sees it so fast. His reaction time is so fast. How he plays the ball in the air or how he plays it once the ball's in the receiver's hands and how he gets it out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best cornerback play of anybody I've seen all year.
The thing that was so impressive to me is the balls that Mayfield were throwing were on the money. I mean, they were right
on
Ibuka's hands. And Mitchell just found a way to get to the ball, or it was really something special. So the Eagles opened up the practice window on N'Kobe Dean today. And N'Kobe played really, really well last year. What do you do with him? You know, Jahad Campbell's been so good. Is there a way to move Campbell around to get Dean in there? What do you think they do with Dean back?
I mean, maybe Vic creates a package where Jahad comes off the edge a little bit and they play a little three linebacker set. But Denver's not a big tight end team. They're a big wide receiver team, 11 personnel. You know, they like to throw it, and they do it a lot of different ways. It would make no sense. Like, Kansas City will put three linebackers out there in the field. If they feel like you're a good running team, if you're going to play a lot of two and three tight ends, they'll play all three of their linebackers. But they're going to just match up against your personnel and your personnel groupings. So, I mean, it's tough. I mean, they drafted Jahad. It was the right pick. He's a great player, and he's just getting started. So N'Kobe is the backup. He's going to play special teams. When you play goal line and short yardage and you get that type of personnel in the field, he's going to get a chance to do what he does, which is, you know, he's a mad hitter out there. He's going to get a chance to blow some guys up. But it's going to be tough to get on there with the way, obviously, the way Zach plays is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And what Jihad is just, you know, getting into, it's going to be tough to find him snaps right now.
So Sunday, we have the Broncos. Broncos were, you know, I hate to say the phrase trendy pick, but everybody...
They were.
There was a lot of trendy pick for the Broncos this year. Haven't played, one big on Monday night, but haven't played quite as well, offensively at least, as I think they want to. What are you looking at when you... The things that we should focus on the most when we're looking at Sunday, Eagles and Broncos?
Well, they have great playmakers on defense. Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper are really good. Zach Allen led the league in quarterback hits last year. They have Vance Joseph does a great job of moving guys around. You could put Surtain on A.J. Brown. You're going to see that for sure, but you might put him on his ex-teammate, Devontae Smith. They know each other really well. They've got flexibility with what they do defensively, and they do a lot. They'll bracket coverage. They'll blitz. They'll rush five on first down. I mean, play man behind it, play zone behind it. They do a lot defensively and then offensively. Bo Nix is a great athlete, and his movement is really good. And Sean Payton is his play calls, especially even on Monday night against Cincinnati. I know Cincinnati's not a great defense, but like some of his play calls, some of play calling is based on the predictability of what defense you're getting and what coverage you're going to get, and attacking that predicted coverage. And there's nobody better than him. And they've got every single play that's been drawn up by man since in 105 years on that play sheet of his that he could call. And this young kid knows how to execute it. Like, they're good. They're really good. Now they lost, on a bad kick, against the Colts.
Yeah.
And the Chargers are a good team. They came back in the fourth quarter. So, they've got some blemishes on the record, but they can play as good as anybody on Sunday in this league right now.
All right, Baldy. It's an interesting game. I think the Broncos lead the league in sacks. For an Eagles offense that has...
Well, they led the league in sacks last year, and they've got 14 this year. And it can come from... I'll say this. The takeoff of Benito and Cooper is the fastest takeoff for a duo in this league. Like, now, Lane and Malata are excellent at their sets, but, that was a challenge for Cincinnati on Monday night. They couldn't get out of their stances, and these guys were buying.
All right, Baldy. Looking forward to talking to you next week and talking about the Broncos.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it, brother.
Yep. Thanks, Baldy.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. The ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There is a lot of criticism of the routes that the Eagles wide receivers are running right now.
Yeah.
Nationwide, everywhere. Here, the analysts that are online, the national guys, and Baldy just did it there.
Yeah.
I at a certain point, you're going to have to, the question, and I think the question has been asked widely, and we've been wondering, but like, Kevin Petullo at some point is going to get a spotlight on him,
yeah,
as with a guy with And Nick Sirianni by association, because this was Nick's pick and Nick's guy, and you know they did not even interview anybody else. So
he was the guy.
He was the guy, and there's no, people keep saying it's early. There is no excuse for a guy who has been in the building for 4 years. To get it perfect, I get it.
Sure,
but it just shouldn't be as disjointed as it is now. We should not have halves where we have negative passing yards. We shouldn't have two halves
with
negative
passing
yards.
That really is.
Two full halves with negative net passing yards in four games.
That's hard to believe. It's unbelievable.
It seems crazy.
With this caliber of talent.
And whether we have a lead or not.
It don't matter. Yeah.
We're not up 40 points, you know. Yes. It's just, what a crazy year it's been. By the way, Baldy's call, Baldy, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. I think the N'Kobe Dean thing, I feel bad for N'Kobe Dean because this is the last year under contract.
Yeah.
And with the way he played last year, I thought we looked at the pair of those two guys and said, okay, there's a future. N'Kobe Dean wasn't able to stay healthy previous to last year, had such a great year, but this is just bad luck for him.
Yeah, no, that injury last year really hurt him because then it really forced the Eagles to re-sign Zach Bond.
Yes.
Like they basically had to re-sign Zach Bond. He was the only legitimate linebacker you had at that time. And so, you know, to get Jahad Campbell to fall to them had to be, and there were reports they were trying to move up to get him.
And he's a beast, by the way. Campbell's a beast.
Yeah, so they targeted him as a linebacker. I just don't know where N'Kobe goes.
It's just bad luck.
It's just unfortunate.
It's really bad luck.
We waited for years for N'Kobe to get out there, and last year he finally was out there, and he was healthy for the majority of the year. He got hurt in the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you get all the way to the playoffs, and then you get injured. Yeah, it really sucks for him. He's a good kid. You know, he's a good leader. He was the vocal guy on that side. He wants to keep all those Georgia Bulldogs corralled.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You got Smile London, you got Jeremiah there, and then you got Zach, and you got Jahad Campbell.
Well, and
it's tough.
It just sucks for him to hear. He played as well as he did last year.
Yeah.
And what Baldy said is true. You're going to have special teams. You're going to be a backup.
Yep. No, it is. And you got to be ready because you never know when
something happens.
Yes, you never know.
And I'm not wishing this on him. Jahad Campbell came into this year with injury concerns.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what happens? He could get it. And I think, by the way, Smile Mondon or Jeremiah, if N'Kobe's healthy, I think N'Kobe probably slides in there if Jahad gets hurt, if he's healthy.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would guess. I would guess.
You never know with Vic, though.
Yes. You never know with Vic. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings end. And you can't go anywhere because the Eagles locker room is opening up in the next 10 minutes after practice. And A.J. Brown may be there, may not, may talk.
Does he speak?
But if he speaks, if he speaks, we will hear exactly what he said because Elliot's going to call us right away.
Right.
And if he doesn't speak, you will hear that he didn't speak, and you will hear that right away. So that is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.